T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We are joined by Cleveland.com's Dan Lobby. Dan, thanks for giving us a couple minutes, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So the Outrage Olympics was amazing. everyone deserved gold medals across the board because this has turned into a who can yell the loudest with an opinion that I think is pretty much universal. Myles Garrett, you cannot possibly think that taking a helmet and hitting somebody over the head with it is a good idea. My favorite, Dan, because I do want to hear what your favorite opinionist take was the fact that James Harrison dipped his toes into the water and was, of all people, James Harrison thinks that this is okay. It's like I'm watching this Alex Rodriguez show where he tells athletes how to fix their image. Like, the irony is just, it just drips, and it's amazing. Who did you think had the most outrageous or outlandish opinion from one of the seven-figure opinionists?
I think for me it's that O.J. Simpson weighed in. So you've got James Harrison weighing in, you've got O.J. Simpson weighing in. This is actually the second time that O.J. Simpson has weighed in on something with the Browns. He posted a video after Baker Mayfield stormed away from that press conference. So, O.J. Simpson, I don't know, maybe he's angling for a Browns beat reporter job or something. But anytime O.J. weighs in, you put the big story.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, we played the clip about a couple hours ago, and it was one of those. I had to play it because OJ is a calming voice for some reason. He's absurd. He's crazy, but he's the type of guy I want to listen to if I'm trying to fall asleep. Like, you know those podcasts where they put you to sleep by listening to the guy? That's what I need out of OJ, because for some reason he's the calmest person in the world while explaining just complete absurdities like what happened on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's impressive that all of a sudden he's built this Twitter following. And I think, to me, you form an opinion on something, and then, you know, for some reason, OJ were to say something and I were to agree with him, I'd almost have to rethink where I stood on something.
I like that. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, joining us here on 90. All right, so you were in the locker room. I got a lot of reports that, Jake Trotter being one of them, suggesting that it was just entirely different, the mood and everything. And if I understand this right, they didn't let you guys in right away. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was a very long wait to get in, a lot longer than normal. Sometimes they're a little slow to open the locker room to begin with, but it was a lot longer than normal, and a lot of players kind of cleared out of there before we even went in. And look, I've been in a lot of losing locker rooms over the last few years. Certainly was in a winning locker room on Sunday when they beat the Bills, and it was just, this felt like as bad a losing locker room as I'd ever been in. It was just really somber. Nobody was celebrating. There wasn't any music that the communication staff had to like scramble to get turned off so we could do interviews. It was just a very somber locker room after the game, which is disappointing because it was such a big win.
Yeah, it really was. And that's like Freddie, he mentioned yesterday, this has overshadowed the fact that we won two games in 5 days. It's the first time you beat the Ravens and the Steelers in the same season. Well, that got overshadowed with this, but to be fair, we don't see things like this often in the NFL, and it's not just the fact that somebody took off their helmet and hit somebody else. We saw that happen to Richie Incognito. We've seen that before. We've never seen a first overall draft pick, and this is what makes him so entirely different in this conversation, hit a quarterback, which makes it entirely different within this conversation as well.
And that it happened in the last 8 seconds of the game too. Mm. Had it happened in say the third quarter or something, there would have been some time at least for. It still would have been a huge story and everything still, it still would have been the talking points the whole next day, but at least there would have been some space between the end of the game and when it happened. But it happens in the last 8 seconds of a game that you're winning. And even if it had just been a fight, a couple of guys rolling around on the ground, it wouldn't have marred this victory like this incident did. So the timing, the fact that it happened on national TV, the fact that it happened at all, it really did just ruin this football game for the Browns.
Do you ever feel like you're covering a news story as opposed to sports at any point with this? I'm genuinely asking because when we do these sports talk radio shows, I'm not Walter Cronkite. I know that. No one's ever called me, mistaken me for that. But I like the toy department that is the sports world. I like diving into the games. I even like the off-field stuff. I like the drama with OBJ and Baker. I'll swerve right into that. this doesn't feel like a sports story. This feels like a news story to me.
Yeah, it really just felt different than a normal controversy or something like that. You know, when Odell Beckham's talking about his shoes, we're talking about shoes, right? We're talking about watches. We're talking about, but this was, you know, this was a serious thing. A guy took somebody's helmet and hit him with it. And the guy that he hit wasn't wearing his helmet, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, it was a serious thing. And the other thing that it really overshadowed was there were actually a lot of good stories out of this game. You know, poor Daniel Carlson, the tight end, who made that catch. He would have been the story maybe today on Thursday night. But instead, you know, I think maybe one or two people talked to him, but it just all got overshadowed.
It's crazy to me. And it's one of those deals where I know we have to address it. I know we have to talk about it. And trust me, I'm open to all of those discussions. I just, when I think about it in the totality, I was so easy on Freddie Kitchens and trying to see what he would do right and wrong. But honestly, if you wanted to just put a projector up at the end of the season and then have Jimmy Haslam just play from 8 seconds out in the fourth quarter and then say, we don't have to answer questions, this is why he's fired, it would be understandable to me.
Yeah, I think it's really concerning, and I don't, you know, I don't think it's all on. Obviously, Miles has to be accountable for his actions, but this team has just sort of been a little bit disorganized, a little bit out of control. You know, they got back to committing penalties again on Thursday night. There's that one drive where they committed 58 yards of penalties, and one of those was the Demaryius Randall hit that got him ejected. It's these things that, you know, they just sometimes they get cleaned up for a game or two, and then it's right back to where it was before. You know, this team is going to win games over this final stretch. They're already winning games. You know, they're probably going to beat. They are going to beat Miami next Sunday. They're going to beat Cincinnati twice. Mm-hmm. Their record might not be all that bad, but the evaluation has to include the discipline of this team. You know, if this team really is cleaning up some of these issues, because if you make the playoffs, you're going to end up being the Cincinnati Bengals. You're going to shoot yourself in the foot, and you're going to lose in the opening weekend. And that can't happen.
Yeah, that'd be miserable. It's how I think about the Bills this year. Like, all right, they're going to get there, but they're going to lose in the first round. We all know it. It's just kind of waiting for the expected outcome. But I was okay with that because I thought for the Browns, if you make it to the postseason and then you lose in the first round, you know what? You got to crawl to walk to run, right? You got to be able to take that and then grow with the next year and then keep advancing forward. I just don't know if this is the right way to do it. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, joining us right here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, what did you make of Mason Rudolph's penalty? Were you shocked that it was as little as it was, or did you think maybe that's right because he's a quarterback and he's treated differently?
You know, this is a tough one. I could see suspending him a game, and I think maybe if you're going to suspend Miles for as long as he did and you're going to suspend Pouncey and Ogunjobi, throwing a suspension to Mason would be fine. The reality, though, is had this incident stopped right before Myles Garrett swings the helmet, and maybe you can make the case that Mason Rudolph charging at Miles kind of precipitated that, but had it stopped right before that moment, this would have just been a typical NFL fight, and I don't know if anyone would have been suspended. You would have had some big fines levied. You know, maybe Miles would have gotten a game just because of the season he's had, or he's been fined multiple times and had some incidents, but the punishments would have been much less severe. It was the swinging of the helmet and the hitting of Mason Rudolph that led to all the suspensions that we've seen. So, you know, I'm not going to argue that Mason Rudolph shouldn't have gotten suspended. I think he probably should have gotten at least a game, but I do think he's going to end up getting a pretty hefty fine when all is said and done.
Yeah, you could make the case on your initial point there that if he stops before he swings the helmet, you know what that is? That's just week one when he punched Delanie Walker after the whistle, right?
Yeah, and probably not even that bad. I mean, this really was, up until that moment, it was just a typical NFL fight that we see all the time. This was, when Marlon Humphrey had Odell Beckham on the ground, that was worse than what we saw leading up to when Miles actually swung the helmet and started everything that led to the suspension.
So you're around these guys. How surprised, if I were to tell you that something like this were to happen to a Browns player, how surprised would you be if I told you it was Miles Garrett that this happened to?
You know, I would be very surprised. And I'm not going to pretend that I know these guys all that well. You know, we see them in the locker room, you know, a lot of days when we're in there. We're only in there for 45 minutes. Some of these guys are just in and out. Miles is kind of one of those guys that's, you know, sort of in and out. Some days we don't see him. But just based on everything we know about Miles Garrett and everything we've read about him and what we have had opportunities to talk to him, this just doesn't seem like him. But, you know, the reality competitive, and this game is so violent, And, you know, Miles is banging his head against double teams and he's getting held. And I'm sure there's a lot of frustration that builds up over the course of a football game. And it all, for whatever reason, you know, came out in that moment.
From an image perspective, how long do you think it'll take him to fix this?
I think it's something that's going to follow him through his career. I don't think it's going to ruin his career. I think, you know, he can put this behind him. But the unfortunate thing is it's always going to be a part of the Myles Garrett story. Everybody's going to remember this, that everybody was watching this. It happened on national TV, and everybody was watching. It was on Fox. It was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. You know, this isn't going to define Myles Garrett, I don't think, but it is something that's always going to follow him throughout his career. And everybody's going to remember when Myles Garrett hit that guy with his helmet. It's going to follow him. I don't think it's going to be a defining moment necessarily. He can put it behind him in that sense.
DanRobbieCleveland.com. Last one, Dan. Colin Kaepernick working out later on today. Hugh Jackson involved, which is odd, but it's reality. What do you think happens with Colin Kaepernick?
I think somebody's going to end up signing him at some point. I don't know who it'll be, but I think somebody, you know, now that the NFL is opening the door a little bit, and you know, I understand this is kind of gimmicky, and they kind of threw it together at the last minute, and maybe it feels like a little bit of a PR stunt by the league. But I think just kind of putting him back, you know, in front of NFL executives, letting him work out, letting him show what he can do some interviews. I think he ends up signing somewhere at some point. I don't think we've seen the last of Colin Kaepernick. But I still think, you know, there's a lot of NFL teams that are just going to be nervous to deal with, you know, kind of the media storm that comes with it. But, you know, he hasn't played since 2016. I think somebody will take a chance on him eventually.
Dan Robbie, you know you're one of my favorites on the Browns beat. I appreciate all you do and appreciate you coming on and giving me a couple minutes. And, of course, I encourage everyone to go over to Cleveland.com and read your stuff. I'll catch up with you down the road. All right, man?
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Dan Robbie right here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.